Okay, so tonight, do not fret. Psalm 37. If you haven't turned there, you can turn there. I have a friend, and her name is Tammy. And Tammy's been in heaven, I think, for about 8 years now. And Tammy has three children, and they're two boys and a girl, and they're kind of stepping stone with my girls. We had, you know, her daughter Christy, then Morgan, then Michael, then Tyler, then Anthony. So when they were little, they all played together. And I have very fond memories, so it's been fun to think of this last week. But when her two boys, Michael and Anthony, Michael was younger than Anthony, and Michael was always very concerned about what his brother was doing or wasn't doing, and would often tell his mommy what his brother was or wasn't doing. And Tammy would say, "Don't worry about your brother, just worry about yourself. Don't worry about your brother, just worry about yourself. Don't worry about your brother, just worry about yourself." Well, she didn't realize what she had been saying. And one day, they were having this conversation, whether they were having a devotional or just a conversation, worry was a topic, and she said, "You know, you're not supposed to worry about anything." And Michael said, "Well, I know something we're supposed to worry about." She said, "Well, Michael, we're not, the Lord doesn't want us to worry about anything." And Michael said, "But Mommy, you always tell me to worry about myself." And she had no idea that she was reinforcing this little worry into his life. Now, we are all prone to worry. We're born that way, and we certainly don't need that reinforced. Sometimes we have friends that want to reinforce that with us. "Oh, did you think about this? Did you think about that?" And that gets reinforced. But we don't need that. We can do that all by ourselves, can't we? I happen to have a degree in fretting. In fact, I think it's a doctorate. It's like the highest you can go. I'm just a fretter. I don't want to be, but I'm a fretter. And I have a feeling that most of you are too. So before we start, if you have a piece of paper, can you just jot down very quickly, and I don't think it'll take you very long, just jot down five things you tend to fret about or worry about. Could be current things, could be just ongoing things or whatever, but just give you a couple of seconds to do that. Now, you can keep writing, but if I didn't stop you, you probably would continue to write all night long, because I'm sure that list would be very long. But let me just read you a few scriptures, and you think about whether you've heard these or not. Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say to you," Jesus said, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Be anxious for nothing." And then our text tonight in Psalm 37, "Do not fret, it only causes harm." Now, have you heard those before? Have you read those scriptures before? Do you still tend to fret? Do you still tend to worry? We do. But don't you know that it's unspiritual to worry, to fret? At least that's the first thing we think of when we're talking to other people who are worrying about things that just don't matter at all. They're just little things, and they're getting all upset, and we just think, well, you need to trust the Lord. Well, why wouldn't you trust the Lord? But then when it comes to ourselves, when we start worrying, when we start fretting, sometimes we feel very guilty because we know when we're fretting and when we're worrying, we're not trusting. And I thought I trusted the Lord, but if I trusted the Lord, I wouldn't be worrying. But if I'm worrying, then that means I'm not trusting the Lord. And then we go back and forth and back and forth, and we're fretting over the fact that we're fretting. We're fretting over the fact that we're worrying. We are human, and we are born with a sin nature. We are. We are all prone to worry. And all of us worry over something. Now, some of us have our degrees and, you know, are more prone to worry and fret in certain areas, and others don't, maybe in those areas, but I guarantee there's some area in your life where you're fretting because we have this sin nature. There are approximately 49 verses in the Bible that refer to worry or don't worry or don't fret. And then there are over 100 verses that refer to trusting or committing. And I think the Lord tells us so many times to trust Him and not to worry, because He knows our frame. He knows our flesh. He knows the weakness of our flesh. And He knows all these difficulties that we can go through, even the smallest things to the biggest things. He knows that because of this fleshly nature, we will have that tendency to fret. So He tells us in His Word over and over and over again not to worry and to trust. Now, typically, it is when we don't have control, then we start to worry. We start to fret. Because if we have control over something, then we're going to make it go our way. And then why worry when we're making it go our way? But it's when we don't have the control over the things or over the people or over the situations that we begin to fret and begin to worry. Our intentions are to trust the Lord. We want to trust the Lord. We know we're supposed to trust the Lord, but we then tend to give in to that fretting, that anxiousness, that worry. Someone said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And some of us are just in the habit of worrying because it gives us something to do. It keeps our mind going. Psalm 37. I love Psalm 37. This is, I know a lot of people run to the Proverbs passage of trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. For some reason, I have, from a brand new Christian, have always gone to Psalm 37, to trust in the Lord and to do good and to dwell in the land and to feed on His faithfulness. Recently, was at the Pastor's Wives Conference that I attend every year, and the theme was from Psalm 37, so it kind of got stirring in my heart and mind again. And then a few years ago at one of our ladies' retreats, we had Psalm 37 as a theme. And as I've been thinking about this passage and studying it and talking to the Lord about it, it reminded me a little bit of our dear sister Jane Chiwinga, who Tammy mentioned, that's with the Lord now. And because she taught at the retreat, and then, I don't know if you were there, she taught us to memorize this passage also. And today's Jane's birthday, and she's celebrating in heaven. That's very exciting. So Psalm 37, I'm not going to read the whole psalm. We're not going to deal with the whole song. We're just talking about do not fret and trusting the Lord. So I'm just going to read verses 3 through 8. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So in these verses, there are two things that we are not to do. We are not to fret. And actually, this is something we're supposed to do, but it's something we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to. It says cease from anger. So that's something we're supposed to do, but we're not supposed to be angry. But there are eight things that we are to do. We're to trust. We're to do good. We're to dwell in the land. We're to feed on his faithfulness. We're to delight in the Lord. Commit our way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently in the Lord. But for the sake of time and for just our purpose tonight, we're only going to be talking about a couple of these things. Now, we all need to grow in this area of not fretting, not worrying, and grow in our trust and our faith in the Lord. And there is a journey between fretting and trusting, and a journey between trusting and resting. It doesn't happen overnight. It is something that we learn. It's not head knowledge. You know, I read those verses. We know those verses. And yet, we have a tendency to still worry. So it's not just knowing. It's a lifelong lesson. It's a journey. It's something that we need to grow and mature in so that we today, next year, we can look back at today and we go, oh, I don't fret as much as I did back then. I might still fret, but not as much. I'm growing. I'm growing in that. It's also this whole area of worrying and trust. Because of the things that we go through, because of the things that are in our lives. And this whole Psalm 37, it's showing the wicked, it's showing the evildoers, it's showing their prosperity and those that fret because why are the wicked prospering? But it also shows their consequences to them and then the blessings that we have in trusting the Lord. But there are reasons. We live in a fallen world. There are reasons that we can fret. There are reasons in our lives. Our circumstances are all not always the way that we want them to be. And there are reasons for that. The Lord uses all those things to sharpen us, to refine us. And so there are reasons behind that, which is another study, which we'll be addressing in probably after the first of the year, so I won't go into that. But every day, because of this world that we live in, we wake up and our natural man, that fleshly tendency, we wake up with plenty of things to worry about, plenty of things. There are plenty of evildoers out there. This world is not going the way that we want it to go. Politically, economically, just physically, all of it. It's going downhill. And there's a lot of problems. So just on a daily basis, there's just so many things that you can worry about. Or not to, but we have a tendency to. But apart from that, apart from the world, apart from the evildoers and all of that, there are plenty of other reasons why we do tend to fret or worry. A lot of times our worries are based on past experiences. Last year at this time, my child got very, very ill and was hospitalized, and it was touch and go. I wonder if that's going to happen this year. we can start worrying about that because of something that already happened in the past. Last time I went on a trip, they lost my luggage. This time I wonder if that's going to happen. You know, we because of those things, that triggers fretting. It triggers worry. Or last time I felt like this, this is what happened. And I don't want that to happen. I wonder if that's going to happen. And we can work ourselves up over that. Or we can fret and worry and even become fearful over our circumstances, of course, and that are hard circumstances, but even that are perfectly fine now. We can work ourselves into a frenzy. We can fret. We can wring our hands. We can become anxious. We can become nervous and worry. We can worry over our marriage. We can worry over our children, their future, what the choices that they might make. We can worry if we're going to have money to put braces on their teeth. We can worry about getting them new shoes. We worry just about anything we can worry. Adult children, we worry about the way they're raising their children, or the way, or if they're walking with the Lord, or you know, there's lots of reasons to fret and worry. Finances, who hasn't? Can you raise your hand? Who hasn't fretted over finances? We all think about that. All of us, from time to time, you can get yourself worked up. Family matters. Our families, they're made up of people. And people have problems. And at any given time, you never know what might happen. And it can cause you to worry, to fret, to become anxious. Any kind of relationship. There's health problems. You just hear it over, at least we do. I mean, so many people have so many health issues, you know, and you just think, am I next? Am I next? Is this going to happen? Is this going to happen to my mother or my child or this? You know, we can start to fret, start to get anxious about our job security, our husband's job, our job, our housing needs, you know. Are we going to be able to sell our house? Are we going to be able to buy a house? Are we going to be able to rent a house? I mean, just all kinds of things that we can fret and worry about. Transportation needs. My car needs brakes. I don't have the money for that. And, you know, all of that. Our schedule. So I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. I want to do this. I want to do that. We can work ourselves up and fret, 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 fret. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. I need a little feedback on this one. We can always also worry about all of the what-ifs. How many of you are good at that? Well, for the rest of you, we'll help you out here. What if my husband gets in a wreck on the way to work? Or the what if my luggage gets lost? Or what if my child makes a bad decision and gets in the wrong crowd? What if that check doesn't come in time? It's supposed to come in time. What if? What if? What if? What if Obama gets reelected? We can what if ourselves into a fretting mess. And it can even go so bad as what if the roof collapses in the room right now? I mean, you can get carried away in your own mind. I mean, you can start to fret with all the what ifs. There are all kinds of things we worry about, and all kinds of things we worry about that will never ever happen, never happen. And you know, Jesus said, "You can't add any heights to you. How worrying is going to get you nowhere. It does no good." And we're commanded, told over and over again, not to worry, not to worry. Then there are the big trials. Those big trials, and we have plenty of those too, where any of us, I mean, because, you know, some of these you know how we do. We can listen to a friend or we can look at, and she's fretting and worrying, and we're thinking, get a life. Come on. This is, you know, nothing compared to this thing. You know, you can think that. Don't sit there and think that you can't think that. You know, we do think that. But there are those biggies where if one of us, two of us stood up and we shared what that big thing is that is causing that fretting, that worrying, there's every single one of us would go, yeah, I can see why you would be fretting. You can be worrying about that. Yet we're told, doesn't matter if it's little. I mean, he doesn't say, don't fret or don't worry about those things on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 to 5. But the things from 6 to 10, you can start worrying about. Doesn't matter how big, how small, we're told not to worry. We know that we can't change anything by worrying. We know that. It doesn't accomplish anything good. It does accomplish something, but it doesn't accomplish anything good. It tells us in verse 8, do not fret. It only causes harm. And fretting, worrying, that kind of stress, the anxiousness, it causes harm. It can cause headaches. Can cause stomach aches, it can cause digestive problems, rashes, skin problems, breathing problems, heart problems, weight gain, weight loss, hair loss, sleeplessness, fatigue, back problems, depression, strained relationships. I mean, it can cause all kinds of physical things that can harm us, but then we can react to other people because we're fretting and it can damage relationships too. So fretting and worrying, it does accomplish something, but it's nothing good, nothing good at all. Now, let me say this for the sake of those of you who kind of struggle with this. There are times where we are trusting the Lord and we have the peace ruling and reigning in our heart and mind in a situation, and our body reacts. And we can get very down on ourselves. And we can say, well, I thought I was trusting the Lord. Then why did my skin break out? Or why am I having heart palpitations? Or, you know, whatever it that physical reaction might be. You know, we are made body, soul, and spirit. And everything connects. And there are times where your body can react, but your spirit and your soul are at peace with the Lord and he is carrying you through. So don't get down on yourself. Grow. We need to grow, but don't get down on yourself. And for the rest of us, have compassion and grace on those who are going through a really hard time like that. So we're told to trust in the Lord. Now, it is very hard to trust someone that I don't know very well. If I have my brand new baby and I have to leave that brand new baby and I just met you, I don't trust you. I don't know you. I don't trust you. Even if I know you a little bit, I know something about you. Maybe we've talked a few times. That's real hard for me to leave my brand new baby with you. I may leave that baby with you, but I'll be thinking about that baby the whole time. And I'll be wondering. I'll be fretting. It is not until we know someone inside and out that we fully trust them. So to trust in the Lord, those are just words on the page of the Bible. If we don't know the Lord, we have to know him to trust, to put our trust in him, to know him more. The more we know him, the easier it is to trust him. The more we spend time with the Lord, the more we will know him, and the easier it is to trust him. The more we spend time in his word, we know him. We will know him better. We'll know his heart. This word reveals his heart, who he is, what he does, how he works, how he moves. And when we know that word, we will trust him more. The more we know him and his heart of love, the more we will trust him. And when we dwell in the land, as it tells us to do, when we abide in Christ, when we settle down and make ourselves at home in him, and we are like that vine and the branch. I mean, we are grafted in. Our nourishment, our supply, everything comes from him. We are dwelling in him, in the land. We learn of him. We learn more about him. We know his heart and his love for us. And then we know that what he says in his word is true, that he's trustworthy, and then I'll trust him more. It's a journey. It's learned, it's growing, it's maturing every single day. When we talk about trusting the Lord, we talk about believing and faith, and they all go hand in hand. Believe is to trust, to have faith in him. We're told to feed on his faithfulness, feed upon his word. His word shows us how faithful he is. Read about Noah and how God's faithfulness to Noah. Read about Abraham, his faithfulness to him. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, the children of Israel, David, and then on into the New Testament. His faithfulness to the apostles, to his disciples, to Paul, to the early church. When we feed on his faithfulness through his word, oh, it does. It feeds our soul. It strengthens us. It speaks to our inner man and says, hey, you can trust the Lord in this. He's a big God. He cares for you. Feed on his faithfulness. Remember your history with him. And that's so important for us to do, to feed on his faithfulness in that way. Remember how faithful he has been to you. The prayer that was answered, remember that. The help that he gave you when you called out, when you cried out for him to help you. The mercy and the grace that he has extended to you. Remember that. Feed on his faithfulness. Or the outcome of that situation that you thought you were sinking in. But you didn't sink. You didn't sink. He pulled you back up. Remember his faithfulness. Now I want to give you just a minute to sit and remember. Jot those things down that you can think of. His faithfulness to you. An answered prayer. How he delivered you from a circumstance. Any way he has been faithful to you. When we feed on his faithfulness, it is replacing those thoughts of those fretting thoughts, those worried thoughts. When you're fretting, when you're worrying, if you start feeding on his faithfulness, it's just going to replace those. It's going to build us up. It's going to encourage us. So each time that fearfulness or anxiousness or worrisome, fretful thought comes in, replace it with his faithfulness. Replace it with that promise to you. Replace it with that past answered prayer.
God's faithfulness in your life. We're also told we're to commit our way to the Lord. And I like that word commit. It means to roll. It means to roll the whole burden of life upon the Lord. I love that because sometimes we carry a burden. There's a heaviness. And Psalm 55:22 says to cast your burden or roll your burden onto the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That's a promise to you. Write that down, Psalm 55:22. And the next time you start fretting, you start worrying, pull that one out. Roll your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. And then 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He loves you. He loves to hear the burden. Sometimes you just need to talk and you just need to spill it out to somebody. And a lot of people don't want you to do that. They don't want you dumping on them. The Lord says, please, talk to me. Spill it out. I want to hear it. He already knows. He wants to hear it. He wants that burden cast on him. He wants the cares cast on him. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Oh, Lord, my thoughts are fretting, they're worrying, they're anxious. Well, commit your ways, roll your ways, roll the whole burden of life onto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That committing, it's prayer. It's that when we roll our burdens onto the Lord, when we cast our cares on him, it's prayer. It's just prayer. It's talking to the Lord. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, you people, and pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Again, he's there for us to talk to. Philippians 4:8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, pray. Replace the worry with prayer. Did I say play? Oh. Prayer. Replace the worry with prayer. Somebody also said, and I love this, enter into prayer and stay long enough. You just stay there. Stay long in prayer. Well, I prayed and it didn't work. You didn't pray long enough. Stay there. Stay there. We need to practice committing our ways to the Lord, praying without ceasing, purposely trusting in him in each situation that causes us to fret. Lord, I am worried about this. Lord, I am anxious about this. I don't want to be anxious about this. Would you help me, please? And then we pull out that scripture and we say that scripture. Lord, calm, well, we did that study a few years ago. Lord, calm my anxious heart. It's just that practicing and the talking with him and the committing and the feeding and the trusting. Write yourself a note if you forget. I mean, you can forget. I forgot. All I've been doing is worrying. I forgot to feed on his faithfulness. I forgot to commit my way. Write it down. Write it down and post it on your mirror. Put it somewhere. Pray. Don't worry, pray. Cast your cares on him. And then we're told to rest and to wait. And that word rest, it means to hush thy spirit. To calm my heart, to hush my spirit. You know, when you're fretting and when you're worrying, you're not quiet at all. You're wringing your hands. Maybe you look outwardly, but you're wringing it in your mind. You're not calm. But it's that rest, that hush thy spirit. That's something that we're supposed to do. So we don't wait till it happens. We do that. We quiet our heart before the Lord. There's a song that we used to do, Quiet My Mind, Lord. And I have to sing it. I can't say it. But Quiet My Mind, Lord. And I sing that a lot. Because my mind doesn't want to be quiet. My heart doesn't want to be quiet. Quiet my mind, Lord. Hush thy spirit. I need that quiet heart. waiting for him because we do trust him to bring it to pass, and he will bring it to pass. Isaiah 64:4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." I love that. He acts for the one who waits for him. So I want to wait. I want to trust. I want to dwell. I want to delight. We do want to delight, but I didn't go into that. I want to commit. I want to rest, and I want to wait. So resting is something that we do. We need to purposely do, but it is also a byproduct of the trusting, of the committing, of the feeding and dwelling. The rest comes when we first trust. Now, I just want to share just for really quick, because I know we're late tonight. You know, this last year for me has been a real hard year, very hard year. I think it was March when Damien made the announcement, it might have been April, I don't know, we knew in February or March, about his diagnosis of CLL/SLL. And immediately, I mean, that's a huge trial. It's a huge trial. Immediately, the Lord spoke that passage in Mark, and I shared this, but I'm going to share it again. That passage in Mark, chapter 4, where Jesus was with his disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And the disciples were all very experienced fishermen, and they were on that sea, and a storm came up, and the wind was howling, and the waves were high. The boat was filling up with water to where even they thought, this is it, we're going to die. And these are grown men, grown fishermen, and they panicked. And they are bailing water, and they wake up the Lord, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" And the Lord spoke that passage very clearly to me. But he spoke it in a way that he's giving me a choice. In this storm, this diagnosis, this thing that, you could fret and worry about. But he was giving me a choice. And, you know, I know the passage well. And I know what he was saying to me. You can react the way these disciples did. Or you can lay down and you can rest beside me in the boat. And you can ride the storm with me. And Jesus was resting with perfect peace. The disciples didn't have peace. So Karen, what do you want? Do you want to flip out? Or do you want to rest in this? And I also knew that passage really well. So I know what he said to the disciples. And he said, "How is it that you are afraid?" I mean, here Jesus is saying this in the midst of this storm. Where is your faith? Or how is it that you have no faith? And I did not want to hear those words from the Lord. I did not. And I can say, by God's grace, he has carried me through that storm. Amazing, unbelievable, the peace that passes all understanding because I don't get it. And there has been complete peace and no fretting. There has been no worrying. There's been no anxiousness. I don't understand that other than it's God's grace and he used his word in my life. Now, that's the biggie of this year, but there have been a lot of other things, a lot, and I can't share them. But a lot of different circumstances. There's an ongoing thing in my life that causes great concern for me, for my heart, and I can tend to fret over that. There's been a lot of different circumstances that I would not have chosen, that I have no control over,
no control over, that have caused me to fret and caused me to get anxious. And so you'd think, okay, you can be perfectly fine over here, and then on these things, you're fretting and you're being anxious. You know, what is with that? Why can't I just walk around and just have that peace and just not fret over everything? I don't know, because I am a human being and I'm in my fleshly, and I'm growing. And I'm growing. I would love to be able to experience what I am experiencing with that other trial. Now, I'm not saying that if anything changes, I won't flip out. I'm just saying what it is today and what it has been, you know? And by the grace of God, I will hold on and continue. But all of these, the last 10 months, I don't want to relive, but they have been opportunities for me, and it's part of my journey, to learn to trust more, to learn to trust more when I don't have any control over it. I really like control. I like things to go my way. And they haven't. They haven't. And so it's just that opportunity to rest. So, you know, we're all in the same boat. And we all have a choice in every situation in our lives, big or small. Are we going to panic? Are we going to fret? Or are we going to rest? What are we going to do? Now, I mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago, I was at the pastor's wife's retreat, and Psalm 37 was the theme, and Sandy McIntosh, who has come and spoken at our women's conferences, was teaching, and she shared something that the Lord had shared with her. She said she had sat down and asked the Lord, show me. And he spoke to her and she wrote it all down. Which it was definitely a word from the Lord. And it really spoke to my heart. And I asked her if I could share it with you, because I think it's still alive. And I think this is what the Lord wants us to hear tonight. So you can sit and listen. You can close your eyes if that'll help you listen more, because this is the Lord speaking. And he says, I want you to stop worrying. I want you to stop wondering what I'm doing. I want you to stop wondering why things are tough. I want you to stop wandering away from me, looking for other answers and lesser truths. Stop wrestling. Stop wanting what someone else has. Trust me. You can trust me. Do good. Don't stop loving, teaching, serving. Don't stop giving. Don't stop obeying. Dwell in the land and don't run from me. Settle down in this life. Settle in the ministry I have given you, right where you are right now. Feed on my faithfulness, on me. This is what you are hungry for. Your fretting has depleted you. You are malnourished, dehydrated. You need my living water. You need me, the living bread of life, to nourish your soul and strengthen your spirit. Open my word. Read of my faithfulness. There is something for you on every page. Remember the countless times I have been faithful to you in the past. Realize my ways are above you, beyond you. My timing is different from yours. Find your joy and delight in me and let it wash over you. Let worship and praise to me flow out of you, burst forth. As you receive the true, deep desires of your heart in me and through me, rest. I am your place of rest and peace. Enter into this, relax in me, and wait for me.
I'm coming again. Sooner than you think, I am coming for you. Nothing can keep me from you. Nothing can delay the day when I make you finally and fully mine. Father, thank you for those words. And thank you for the words in Psalm 37. And thank you for the words all throughout your book. Thank you that you know our frame. You know we're prone to worry and fret. And thank you that you show us your faithfulness. You show us who you are. You give us the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome and to be more than conquerors. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves up to you, our lives up to you. All the fretting, all the worries, all the cares. We cast our cares on you. We roll the whole burden of life on you. And we leave it knowing that you love us, knowing that you care for us. We want to honor you, Lord, with our faith. We want to honor you with our trust, and we want to walk that way. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to cast our cares on you. Thank you for picking us up and empowering us to carry on. And Father, I pray that what little time the women have to talk about these things, Lord, that you would bless it and you would minister to them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you have just about 12 minutes. I'm sorry. We got started late. God bless you.